So, Lord, bless this message, God, as we open your word and depend on you. God, thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. As we were in worship, there was one song, I don't even know what it was, but this thought came to my mind in Job chapter 14. And I don't know, I want to read these verses and we'll see how it goes with the message, but it's on my heart. Job chapter 14. How many people know the story of Job? Yeah, we know the story of Job, right? He had everything, he lost everything, and then he was blessed. In the second part of his life, was blessed. Almost everything. She was there. All right. Thank you, Carla. Thank you, Carla. She also told him to curse God and die. No. Yeah, that's right. His wife was there. Thank you, Carla. He loses everything. God gives it back. Derailed. Anyway, here we go. Job chapter 14, verse 7. Here we go. There is hope for a tree. Amen. Huh? There is hope for a tree. Hallelujah. Has anybody here ever hugged a tree? No? Okay. Carolyn, yes. The tree out here, we lost the beech tree. Out here, beautiful beech tree. 200 years old, something in there. It's gone. But there's hope. Job is saying there's hope for a tree. Have you ever cut down a tree and you say, that's dealt with? Like we moved into our house and there was this tree growing out of the corner of the house and ripped it out. I said, dealt with. I went back there the other day. It's back. Hey, I dealt with you. There is hope for a tree. If it is cut down, that it will sprout again, and that its tender shoots will not cease. Though its root may grow old in the earth, and its stump may die in the ground. Encouraging verse, right? Root will grow old in the earth, and its stump will die in the ground. Yet that the scent of water, it will bud and bring forth branches like a plant. But man dies, and he is laid away. Indeed, he breathes his last, and where is he? As waters disappears from the sea and rivers become parched and dries up, so man lies down and does not rise till the heavens are no more. They will not awake nor be roused from their sleep. Oh, that you may hide me in the grave, that you would conceal me until your wrath is past, that you would appoint me at a set time to remember me and remember me. If a man dies, shall he live again? All the days of my hard service I will wait till my change comes. But listen to this verse 15. You shall call, and I will answer you. You shall desire the work of your hands. God will call, and we will answer. In the resurrection, that our bodies are dying. Have you experienced it? Lazarus, we spoke about Lazarus this past Sunday. Lazarus walked out of the grave in life, but again, he died. His resurrection was not like the resurrection of Christ. When Christ rose from the dead, what did he do? He walked through walls, he appeared in rooms, he was not constrained by time, but also he ate material things, right? And he was felt, Thomas felt him. The nail prints and the hole in his side. His resurrection is different than the resurrection of Lazarus. But that resurrection is coming for us, actually. That we will have a resurrection body at some point. Paul talks about it in Philippians chapter 3. And Job is talking about it here. That at some point our body, we die and we dry out and like the roots are dead in the earth and the stump is always gone. But there is something that calls us. Just like the tree, there's hope for a tree. Job could be looking at this dry old stump and then there's a little sprout coming out of the side of it. Have you seen that before? Right? A little shoot coming off and the thing just won't give up. Right? Till you get the Roundup. No, we don't. No, we don't do that. Monsanto. No Roundup. Right. And anyway, their hope is for the tree. But like the hope the tree has, at the scent of water, so does our human body have at the call of Christ. That one time He will call and we will be resurrected and we will have bodies that are like His body, and we won't be limited to this stuff, and we won't be constrained to the dust and all of this stuff anymore. So I don't know. I mean, I think that's there's hope for a tree. And if there's hope for a tree, then there's hope for me. Right? If God has built into a tree that it has hope in the destruction, there is no limit to the hope that I have for me. I listened to a testimony recently, and I shared it with a bunch of people, and it's powerful. Oh, my goodness. Oh, man. I've listened to it 4 or 5 times, and I still, like, I'm on the edge of my seat. It's amazing. A man named Ron Archer, Pastor Ron Archer. And I don't know his affiliation. I don't know his theology. That's not the point. But his testimony is unbelievable. I recommend it. I look it up. Powerful. Like, there is hope for this man. And if you could hear his story, you would know that he is the lowest of the low. And he says it himself, I am from the guttermost. He is, you know, the daughter of a son. He's the son of a prostitute. Right? And he is just no hope. But the Word of God was planted. And there is hope for that man. And he has been changed. And he is transformed. And he has a message. And he has a mission. It's amazing. We also have that, okay? That's the introduction. I hope that encouraged you in some way. Now turn with me to Psalm chapter 20. Psalm chapter 20. Maybe it will connect, I don't know. Psalm chapter 20. There's hope for a tree. Psalm 20, verse 1 and 2. May the Lord answer you in your day of trouble. May the name of God, of the God of Jacob defend you. That means, may the name of the God of Jacob set you on high. Not just defend you and keep things from you, but put you out of reach. To put you in a position that cannot be challenged, that cannot be taken, cannot be moved from. It's like an eternal platform that cannot be overwhelmed by anything. May the Lord, the name of the God of Jacob, defend you. May He send you help from the sanctuary and strengthen you out of Zion. Okay. Our lives are here in the earth, just like the tree. Oh, here it is connecting. Just, our lives are here on the earth. Galatians 2:20, Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ, and nevertheless I live, yet not I. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loves me and gave Himself for me. I love that sentence in there, right in the middle. The life that I now live in the flesh. That my salvation does not, I don't depart this world in my salvation. But actually in my salvation, I am still living this life in the flesh. I am still walking around on this ball of dust. And I am still challenged by things naturally, and I am still susceptible to things. And we talked about last week the old sin nature, that there is always a grab to the old sin nature to try to provoke it into activity, provoke it into the leadership of my life. The life that I now live in the flesh, I live by a different understanding, and I live by a different governance. And when I look at Psalm chapter 20 and you read that verse, may God help you, may He send help, may He send you help from the sanctuary. What a beautiful idea. Where God is, may He send you help in your life here in the flesh, in your life here in the dust. May He send you help that is not from this earth, but it is from heaven. It's from the sanctuary. It's from where He is. And when we read this, it's important to understand who He is and where He is so that this makes sense. We are always pursuing heaven, pursuing perfection, pursuing it, right? We want it. We identify things as heavenly, don't we? Ice cream, right? Steak, lobster, right? Tofu, I don't know, maybe somebody, We identify things as divine, as heavenly. We love, and we give that the highest regard. But there is something that really is divine, that really is heavenly. And He sends me help. That He connects to me in my life here in the dust. That Christ, when Christ died for me on the cross and He rose from the dead, He ascended. And what did He do? He ascended and then He went and He sat in heaven at the right hand of the Father in His rightful place. But that didn't end His ministry to me. That didn't end His connection to man. But instead He sent the Holy Spirit. And then He also is in His session that He is actively ministering to us and for us in heaven. He's our advocate. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, John would say. And He is sending help for me, from the sanctuary. That to think that Christ is praying for me. In Romans chapter 8, you can see that every member of the Trinity is engaged in prayer for the believer. Christ is advocating for me. The Father is praying for me. The Holy Spirit is praying for me. That I have a connection to heaven. And it could be that in my faith and in my Christianity, I don't know how to make the connection between the life that I now live in the flesh and the reality of Christ seated in heaven. Is that connection in my life? Do I understand it? And do I know how to see it, how to recognize it? Do I know what help from the sanctuary looks like? Where is that connection? Where is my access to it? It's at the cross. The cross. The cross is a historical event. Marcos reenacts it here, right, for the past, how long? 8 years? Would have been 9. So close to 9 years. Right, look at that. Greater Grace Cantata 2020. I got the official bracelet. It happened in our hearts. I have the evidence of it on my bracelet. Right? So, the event is historical, the cross. And this in a way, this cross is objective. I wasn't, in some senses, I was not there. In some sense, I was there. But the historical event, I was not there. It was Christ crucified. He was the one who bled. He is the one who died. He is the one who hung on the tree for me, Galatians 3:13. He became a curse for me by hanging on the tree. Objectively, this cross is not mine. It was Christ's cross. It was His mission. It was His work. And He did not call me to it in this sense. This is true. Right, this is true. And the effect of this cross is that my sins are paid for. That He took my death, He took my sin. But then Christ, He says to us to take up our cross and to follow Him. So there is an objective cross, historical place, a landmark. But then there is also a subjective cross where I go and I recognize that I have been crucified with Christ. When have I been crucified with Christ? When He was crucified. When He died, I died. When I was in Him, in His death, He was taking it for me. So there it is. There is a subjective cross also. And when He calls me to live the Christian life, He does not call me to this objective place where I crucify myself and He sees my pain and He sees my suffering and He says, okay, now you are worthy. But instead, He calls me to this cross that is subjective where I recognize His work done for me and I receive His help from the sanctuary and the cross in the Christian's life, the cross that I am constantly taking up, the cross that I am constantly recognizing, is that I put down my understanding of things, I put down my agendas, I put down my self, and I take up Christ. And I say, I have been crucified with Christ. It's not something that happens repeatedly. It's something that happened. And when I receive Christ, it is true of me. But then it is something that I recognize on a daily, hourly, minute-by-minute basis that I have been crucified with Christ. This is where my connection with the sanctuary is. This is the hope that there is for the dead man, the broken man. This is where the hope is for a man like this guy I was talking about. Where is there hope? Where is there the playing field even? Where does it not matter where I am from, what my experience is, what my heritage is? Where does none of that matter? But that's at the cross where Christ was crucified. I have been crucified with Christ. The cross life. Oh, we need the cross life. David says it, may the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the name of the God of Jacob defend you. May He send help from the sanctuary and strengthen you out of Zion. Strengthen you out of Zion. Where is that coming from? It's Christ. And I have it through the cross. Paul is prolific in his writing about the cross. And it's always, I have been. It's something that has happened in his life. But it's something that we are called to recognize daily. Is there, because why? Why? Because the life that I now live in the flesh, I have this. I am in contact with the world. And there are things that will bug me. There are things that rub me the wrong way. And there will be times when I look to Christ and I will say, that doesn't make any sense. I don't agree with your plan. We said this last night when Christ said he was going to the cross, and Peter says, Peter took Christ aside. Imagine that picture. Like Jesus is there talking to the disciples and Peter doesn't like it and he goes, come here, Jesus, come here. Let me fill you in a little bit. I'll be back, guys. Okay. And he says, okay, Jesus, that's not going to happen. I don't like that plan. I don't like what you're saying. I don't agree with it. It's not going to happen. What's Christ's reaction? Get behind me, Satan. All right. You are not valuing the things of Christ. You are valuing the things of the world. You're missing it, Peter. You're missing it. I must go to the cross. There are times when I could look to Christ and I would say, this is unacceptable, Lord. This is unacceptable. I don't agree with what you're doing. Rosie is still in Peru. This is unacceptable, Lord. Right? Can't be true. Right? I don't like it one bit. What is Christ's response? Get behind! No. Christ's response is, go to the cross. Go to the cross. That is your answer, Pastor Donald. Go to the cross. And at the cross, you will understand that there is help from the sanctuary. You will understand that there is a real connection between what is happening in heaven and who is in heaven and your life here now on the earth. Work, co-worker, spouse, right? Child, friend, relative, church member, rubbing us the wrong way, saying the wrong thing. And I could say, I don't deserve this kind of treatment. All right, I don't deserve this. We could go on and on and on and on about what I, what does Christ say? Take it to the cross. Go to the cross. And we go to the cross, and what do we find there? It could be that I go to the cross with bitterness in my heart. I go to the cross with anger. I go to the cross with jealousy. I go to the cross with frustration. I go to the cross with all of this stuff, and I have it in my hands, and I say, look at what I have. This is what is in my heart. And Christ says, He brought it to the right place. Leave it. Leave it here. And come with me. And we can say, ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. Right? It's my Noah's favorite when he doesn't know what to say, but he disagrees. Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. But what? And he's like, forget it. Let's go. Right? He's a kid. It's not sparking anything. Right? We can say, ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. He says, no, follow me. There's help from the sanctuary. There's something different. Yes, all of that stuff is here. The life that you now live in the flesh, all of that stuff will be like right here, pressing up against your face. And you'll turn the corner and it's right there. and you cannot escape it, but leave it at the cross and come up and find something different where self is not the point, but the glory of God is the point. Christ is the point. He is the center. That Christ did not come down here to revolve around my life, as much as we would like to think that. And He didn't come down here to say, I have saved you, now what would you like to do? I have saved you, how would you like to feel? I have saved you, how would you like everything to look? And He's revolving around me as I walk through life. No. Actually, He's called me to the cross. And what is the cross like? It's bloody. It's lonely. There's death. But then, there cannot be resurrection without death. There can't be. There can't be, right? By definition. You cannot come into resurrection life without death. And do I recognize the death of the old man in my life? Where all of my things are not, Christ doesn't want to argue with me or deal with me in those contexts, but He has called me to the cross so that He could deal with me as a new man, as a new creature, and He could lead me into a new life. Pastor Cliff Vincent, one time we were doing a rap in Zambia. I was teaching it, or I was, you know, doing the devotional at the rap, and I could picture the whole thing. We're in this gazebo in back of some place, I don't even know. Just an awesome scene. In this little gazebo with a little thatch roof and, you know, a couple little spindly wood railings and, you know, just people. It was so good, right? The whole scene, dusty. You know, some kid with a 36 eggs on his head, you know, just awesome scene. And I, for some reason, I, as a 20-year-old single guy, thought I would do a devotional about marriage, right, to these Zambian guys, right? And I got into it, and I'm into it, and I'm like, I have no idea where I'm going. I'm way in over my head right now, right? Pastor Cliff was there. He said one sentence. He said, if you want to be married, you better learn to take up the cross, right? The end. And I said, okay, that's a good advice. I'm going to tuck that little one away. Right? And it's true, isn't it? It's true. We, in our walk with our spouses, it could be that we become so involved with what is happening in us or around us that we lose sight of the cross. And we get into the trenches and we get into the ditches and we get into the ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba, right? Or, I don't know, whatever, you all have your things. But there's a time where we can come to the cross and we can say, Lord, I don't know everything that's happening. I don't know what is happening, but I want help from the sanctuary. I need You, and I will get there by the cross. And He breathes life to us. There's hope for a tree. Right? There's hope for a tree. Next time, Pastor Doug, you and Beth are having a spirited debate, Beth will just say, there's hope for a tree. There's hope for a tree. I hope there's hope for you. No. Right. There is hope for a tree. Right. There is, it's possible. And none of us are out of the possibility of being reached by, of bringing our stuff to the cross and getting help from the sanctuary. The devil would like me to think that there isn't anything that I could do. Right. There isn't anything that could bring me peace. There isn't anything that could bring me joy. There isn't anything or any way I could be loved by God. But the answer is the cross. The devil wants to access that thing that is not crucified. Right, that's what we were talking about last week with the handle, remember? Remember the handle? All right, he's looking for that. He's looking for that thing. The cross, that handle is gone. There is nothing accessible in resurrection life to the devil. So go to the cross. Bring it there. Your disappointment, your discouragements, your bitternesses, even your pride, your successes, bring it to the cross. Your achievements, bring them to the cross. Allow your accomplishments to be understood in the context of the cross. It could be that you have a great, great Saturday morning outreach, right? You go out and you soul win, people get saved, and there's amazing body life and the fellowship and the, yeah, ooh, wah, 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 so good. so good. And you go to church on Sunday and you're built up, and then church on Sunday night and you're excited, and oh my goodness, life is going to be amazing. And then Monday morning hits and something happens and you say, oh my gosh, Chicken Little, it's all ending. All right, it's over. The sky is falling. It's not good. There's no hope. The devil wants me to be in that place. Where do I break free from that? Where do I find the hope, like the hope for the tree, the scent of water deep down in the roots? That is the cross. That is where heaven meets earth, at the cross. Christ is lifted up at the cross, and all men are drawn unto Him. It is the connection between heaven and earth is the cross. In my salvation, because of the cross I am saved, but then in my experience and in my life that I am living it not by my own understanding, but by the cross and by the life of Christ that is living now in me. So, just to encourage us to come to the cross and like recognize both, right? The objective cross, where there was a work done for me, but then the subjective cross where I apply it to myself and then I live from the cross. Picture like there's two sides of it. I go to the cross with all the baggage. Alright, I got the U-Haul behind me. Alright, I got the U-Haul double hitch, double trailers, and just all kinds of stuff. But then I go to the other side of the cross without it. And God gives me wisdom on how to manage it, all the stuff. As I manage it and I live it through Him, not through me. Like I am removed from the center. Christ is put in the center. And now I am living that way. Amen? Amen. Lord, thank You for giving us Your wisdom for this life, the life that we now live in the flesh. Thank You, Lord. Lead us. God, we ask. Thank You for the cross. Help us to recognize the cross. Remind us of the cross, Lord. Thank You. In Jesus' name, amen.